Being holy does not simply consist in those things we just sang about. But those things we sang about will help us to achieve holiness. And one of those things is to dwell upon the Word of God. In fact, on February the 4th, the morning lesson, we talked about the fact that the religion that we practice and believe is a religion built on the book, the Bible. That concept is pervasive through the Scriptures from beginning to end. That evening on February the 4th, we talked about Jesus' statement, the truth will make you free. And that truth has to do with who He is and why He came. Understanding and believing that truth will set us free from moral slavery to sin and from the guilt and consequences of sin. And then on the 18th, last Sunday, we talked about God being the foundation of all right thinking and conduct. Our adversary, Satan, is well aware of the truth of those propositions. And Satan has launched an effort. He's done so very cunningly, under guise of truth and doing good. And it has pervaded our nation. It has pervaded our schools. Unfortunately, it's pervaded religion. And this one thing that he does that we're going to talk about this morning is effective in undermining everything we just talked about. Religion by the book. The truth about Jesus. Your confidence in God is the foundation of your life. And that one thing that we're talking about is the concept of evolution. Now the term evolution, if you go look it up in a dictionary, may be something you believe in. The word can be defined simply as a change, a growth, an acorn turning to a tree, an embryo turning into a child. That is a legitimate definition of evolution because it simply refers to change. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. Rocky Rodriguez last year taught a class to the young people 6th through 8th, is that right, Rocky? On evolution, did an excellent job. And I'm not sure I've got the exact definition that he had those young people to memorize, but they did a good job of it. But it's something like this. The theory, so you young people that were in Rocky's class, this will sound familiar to you, I hope. The theory that millions of years ago, all non-living things transformed into living things, including animals and man. That's the kind of theory that we're talking about this morning. Sometimes it's called organic evolution or mega evolution or general evolution. You don't have to remember those terms. I just want to make a distinction in the fact that this is a branch of study of evolution. The reason I want to is so that somebody says, you don't believe in evolution? You don't believe in change? And then make fun of you. Well, yes, I believe in change. Yes, I believe in evolution in that sense. But not this kind of evolution. This kind of evolution, which says the lifeless change to the living, that one kind changed to another kind, that the lower animals changed into higher, and finally into man. It's self-starting, it's self-propagating, and it's self-improving. And what it does, in fact, is it says you don't need God. You don't need Him to start things. You don't need Him to improve things. You don't need Him to sustain life. And the consequences of that is, which we'll talk about, is that it undermines the very religion that we profess. Let's look at that very concept as to how important it is. Evolution is not a topic that a number of people in this audience would be interested in. If you're older, maybe. If your children are grown, if you're a grandparent or a great-grandparent, you may say, I'm not interested in the subject of evolution. My parents, when I was just a young man, would have been a topic they probably were not interested in. They had no questions that challenged their faith in the existence of God or the Bible as the Word of God. But folks, the times we live in, it is a challenge. And those of us who are older need to be aware of it. As parents, as grandparents, that these are the kind of things that will undermine the faith of those children and grandchildren you love so much. And we start with that most fundamental concept that we talked about, God as the foundation of all right thinking. When you open your Bible to page 1, to the very first chapter and the very first verse, in the beginning, God. That's where it starts. That's the foundation of the rest of the book. There are 66 books that you hold in your hand and the book called the Bible. Take out those first words and you can throw the rest away. In the beginning, God. God is. God created. God spoke. God sees. God came. And God's coming again. And that's what your whole Bible is about. But evolution, organic, mega-evolution, says you don't need God. God is not the reason that you see the life that you see about you. In John chapter 1, John revisited that concept as he began to put forth to his readers the wonderful message that we've been singing about, that we partook a memorial to this morning. That is the gospel of our crucified Savior. But where did John begin? He began where Moses began. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that came into being, or all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The Word was with God and was God, possessed the very nature of deity. Then in verse 14, as John gets to the thing he's writing about, he says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John goes on to point out that this one who came from heaven and entered human flesh declared the true grace of Almighty God. Truth and grace, the true grace. And that he's explained God, verse 18. But if evolution is true, this gospel story is a myth. There's no truth in it. Some have tried to compromise evolution by saying we believe in theistic evolution. That is, there is a God and He kind of set things in motion, then He sat back in His rocking chair and let everything take care of itself. That cannot be harmonized with Genesis 1, Genesis 2, or the rest of your Bible. The fact is, God is the Creator. God the Son came into this earth in human flesh. And this theory of evolution undermines that very concept. So, you say, I just want to talk to my children about God. I don't want to talk about evolution. Okay, but I'm telling you, what they're hearing in school is undermining what you're telling them about God. When they turn on the television and they watch cartoons and those kind of things that entertain them, when they pick up their apps on their phones and play those games, that's undermining the concept of God, because so many of those things are built on the concept of millions and millions of years ago, there was no human, and out of the murk of gas or mud or whatever it may be, things began to develop, and lo and behold, here came man. Nothing like the Genesis story. Completely undermining the story of redemption of man for his sin and his guilt before God. It's everywhere. And so if we wonder, why do our children have trouble believing in God? This may be part of the reason. So what am I going to do? One, we need to double down on teaching them why we believe in God. What are the evidences for God? I'm talking about objective, historical evidences. It's not enough to just say, I'm your parents, believe in God. Why do we believe what we do? And it wouldn't hurt for us to get somewhat acquainted with the arguments that are being made to undermine that faith, so we'll be in a better position to combat it. Don't be afraid. You can win the battle. God's Word gives you the tools to win the battle. But first, be alert and be aware of what's happening. What about the idea of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So you start with evolution leads to atheism. There is no God. And certainly if that's true, it undermines the very platform of a revealed religion. Look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. You know, when we talk about evolution, you may think it's a new thing. I'm going to mention at the end of the lesson, I'll just mention it now, that evolution has been around for a long, long time. That is the concept. Aristotle, the philosopher, believed life came from non-life, what's called spontaneous generation. It's nothing new. How much these people were exposed to it in the time of Peter, I don't know. But living in an ungodly world as they were and coming out of a pagan society with all that paganism brings about human origins and human destiny, here's how he encouraged them. Verse 19, we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention. Look, verse 20, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made as an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Listen, if there's no God, if men developed over millions of years from non-living sources, this whole idea of Moses receiving a revelation from some creator God is but a myth. The idea that the apostles and prophets received a revelation by the Holy Spirit of God about things they had never learned and presented a truth that exceeds human capacity and comprehension to understand totally and fully. It's all just a pretty story. Peter says what these men wrote from the Old Testament on through all the prophets, they were moved by a higher source, by a higher power. Moved is the idea of influenced by, not some kind of feeling within their breast. They were influenced, their pen was guided by the Holy Spirit of God. And so that the religion we profess, we read the first five books of the Bible. We read about the Exodus. We read about Joshua and his conquering of the land. We've been studying about Jeremiah the prophet. All of that depends upon this concept of revealed religion. That God spoke to man, and what we pick up in our hands is the revealed Word of God. Evolution takes that away. But look over at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. It would be bad enough if Genesis was swept away from our foundation because it tells us about the unique dignity of man made in the image of God. And that is being swept away. And that's why euthanasia and abortion is okay with so many people. But nevertheless, that would be sad. The purpose of marriage in Genesis 2. The uniqueness of the nation of Israel in Genesis 12. But what about the gospel of Jesus Christ? What about this news that John said he wrote about? That is contained in the first four books of your New Testament. And then that men went and preached for 30 plus years, book of Acts. And that this very man, gave up wealth and fortune and fame to preach this message. Why did he do it? He gives you the reason in Galatians 1, 11 and 12. And very simply, it was revealed to him by God. Look, I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to point out he didn't even get it from the other apostles. That would be a pretty good source. But he said, I didn't get it from them. He certainly didn't get it from the feet of his professor that he grew up with, Gamaliel, because he didn't believe it. He didn't get it from the philosophy of that day because they didn't teach it. Where did he get these ideas? He wrote 13 books of your New Testament. He said, I got it from Jesus Christ. Is evolution true? If it is, New Testament, we're wasting our time reading these 13 books. We're wasting our time reading the first four books because they're simply the myths of men as they developed and wished for this fanciful idea. Look over at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. This is a psalm by a great king. You might think, well, people who are common people, people maybe who are poor, yeah, they fling to the Bible as their opiate, their drug. But people in position and power don't hold the Bible in such regard. Here's a man who was not only a king, he was a general, he was a man of battle, he was a military man. And here's how he spoke about the Word of God. Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. By using the word perfect, he lifts it to its highest state. The highest state of law is to restore the soul. That's what he said it does. It restores the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. About what? Note he says, to make wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. That's what David wrote about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ. That would include the creation, the fall of man, the plan of a Redeemer, the Exodus, the prophets that preceded David. That all those things are true and reliable. Evolution undermines faith in those very things. But you know, if that's true, if this book is simply the development of man as he began to evolve into a higher state, then the very foundation of our faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior for our sins, is not true. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus was asking his own disciples, who do people say that I am? And you remember there were different views. Some thought he was a prophet. Some thought he was John the Baptist. Some thought he was Elijah. Others, of course, thought he had a demon. Some thought he was crazy. He turned to his own apostles and said, who do you say that I am? And then Peter made that great confession that we're familiar with in verse 16. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus said, upon this rock, upon this foundation truth, I will build my church. We are here today as a group of people who by our obedience to the gospel of Christ have been granted admission by the power of God into the church of the saved, the redeemed in Christ Jesus. But it's all founded on not our love for one another, but on the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Evolution undermines that. And that's why it's so important to understand how dangerous it is as parents, as grandparents, to be monitoring. What are your children learning in school? What are they seeing on TV? What's in that book that they're reading? It might be good to take their textbooks and be aware of what they're being taught about history. By the way, I used to have, I think I got rid of it, some textbooks that were used in college. So your child goes to college, and this would be one of the textbooks they would have to have. And they would teach them about things like the Cardiff Giant as a missing link. And it was found to be untrue. The Java Man. But they were taught that in school by those with degrees behind their names. Be aware of that. What are your children going to be taught? Not only in grade school and high school, but when they go to college. This can undermine their faith. I could give you examples of people who've lost their faith because of this. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22, there was another movement afoot in the early century. Wasn't necessarily evolution, but it was something that indeed undermined what we just read in Matthew 16. About who Christ is. In 1 John 2 and 22, who is a liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. Antichrist is not some demon in the future that's going to have horns and be red and ferocious, or some ruler of some big nation. He's the person that opposes the gospel of Jesus Christ, as it's revealed in your gospel and confirmed by miracles. This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. Understand that there are people who teach evolution that go to church. Folks, listen, there are people that are standing in pulpits today in churches, supposed to be Christian churches, who believe and teach evolution. They're inconsistent. And if you deny the gospel of Christ, you deny God, and you have no favor with God. So, evolution leads to atheism, and it leads to infidelity. There's a third thing that evolution does. Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In our lesson on God as the foundation of truth, we alluded to this very point. People wring their hands about our society. What are we going to do about the corruption, about the killing, about the murdering, about what all that's going on? I know we need to enact some more laws. We need, for example, to keep guns out of the hands of people. This is not a political speech. I'm not talking about that for any particular views. I'm just saying that while laws are good and necessary, that's not going to solve the problem. There's always going to be law breakers. Paul is going to write about the gospel in the book of Romans. But what he does first is show why it's needed. And so in chapter 1, in verse 21, he said, even though they knew God. How did they know God? This is the kind of thing to teach your children. He talks about that in the previous verse. Through the creation, through the world. We sang about that very thing this morning. This is my Father's world. He's evident everywhere. The songs are being sung through the creation that He made. Teach your children the design of the universe, the complexity of the human body and the human mind. You know, if I were to stand before you, there was a little article that came out in a paper. I say it. Now, not paper that you pick up and read. It's on the internet, called the Babylon Bee. Those of you who've read it know that it's a farce. It's a comical type thing. They'll put it out as news. They don't intend anybody to believe it as news. But it was interesting because they put out an article and they said, we've found out that the Apple iPhone has evolved. There's a myth out that some guy named Steve Jobs created it, but it's not true. We've found out that millions of years ago this thing began to develop and components got together, and they went on and on through this story and found the iPhone has evolved. It's a product of evolution. Anybody that reads the article laughs. Crazy. It's not beginning to be as crazy as to say the human brain evolved, or the human eye evolved, or man evolved. And Paul alludes to that right here in Romans chapter 1. But he said, verse 20, 21, they knew God, but they did not honor Him as God. What do you mean as God? As the Creator, worthy of man's worship and service and fear and adoration. They did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their imagination and their foolish heart was darkened. What was the result of that? Go down to verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God. What truth? The truth that God is the Creator and responsible for everything and that men are responsible to Him because of that. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature. Who's that? Me? You? Ever heard, it's my body, I'll do with it what I want. Ever heard, nobody's going to tell me how to live. No old book that's been written 2,000 years ago. No preacher from the pulpit. No, sir. I believe in freedom. Freedom's a cherished word in our society. As if it's the fix-all for everything. It isn't. A train that's been set free from the tracks has a collision and people get killed. And so, they don't want to worship a creator. They want to worship the creature. Ever heard of humanism? That's what it is. And he said, verse 26, for this reason, God gave them over to the degrading passions. He said, where do people ever get so upside down that men want a sexual relationship with men and women want a sexual relationship with women? And I'll tell you, I have a hard time understanding any such desire, but it can happen. The reason is when people put God out of their thinking. Note verse 26. They exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. In the same way, also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Homosexuality, lesbianism, what's wrong with it? Take God out of the picture. There's nothing wrong with anything. But that's the depraved state of society that results if your children and your grandchildren believe in evolution. There's nothing to keep them from that. But continue further. Verse 28. Just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with. And what a list. It sounds like the Houston News. I've kind of quit watching the news at night. I used to watch it at 10 o'clock. Not sure why I want to watch it. You turn on the news. Oh, there's been a murder. There's been a robbery. Somebody's been raped. It's that kind of thing. Over and over and over again. Well, it's right here in Romans 1. He said, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. You can't trust anybody, can you? Can't trust the news reporters. You can't trust the politicians. What's new? Deceit, malice, their gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, unmerciful, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving. Where did it all start? What happened? The answer is right there in verse 28. That it did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer. It was interesting to me in years past in studying on this topic, and I did do a lot because I had to face it, to find out that this concept of evolution, one particular element of it, it was developed by Mr. Darwin, this idea of the survival of the fittest, not only permeated people's views of morality, that is, these kind of things, but it affected people's view of the economy. The men who were the railroad giants and ran other people out of business, That's evolution. If you're strong enough, mighty enough, it's the survival of the fittest. That's good. That's in accord with the natural order of things. Politically, the same thing is true. Mr. Hitler decided that the Jews were a sub-race. Go to war, kill them all. What's wrong with that? Nothing, if evolution is true. In fact, it's promoting evolution, in his view. Socially, we mentioned earlier, euthanasia. Person gets old, they're suffering, put them to death. Don't let them be a burden on society. A baby is known to have medical problems, abort it. If not, why not? I tell you, it pervades our society. Somebody said, but wait a minute. And maybe we have young people in our audience who might think this way. But wait a minute, preacher. Isn't evolution true? Isn't it a proven fact? That's what my teachers say. That's what my school books say. No. It isn't. The fact is, evolution cannot, underlined it, bold it, cannot be proven empirically. What I mean by empirically, science has different definitions. One definition is science. The word science just means knowledge. One definition refers to things that can be demonstrated to qualified observers in a laboratory. Evolution doesn't fit. You say, creation doesn't fit either. No, it doesn't. Both creation and evolution are beliefs based on evidence. Evolution is a matter of faith. It is not a proven fact. The question is, does the evidence support it, or does the evidence, both in the natural world and in this book we hold to be a revelation, support creation? Another objection might be, you know, you say evolution is not true, but isn't it so that all educated people believe in evolution? And our young people can be impressed with that. People who have degrees, people who are in higher institutes of learning, don't they all believe in evolution? No. You want me to prove that one? I can prove that one right now. There's Wally Otter's back. Master's degree? He doesn't believe in evolution. There's Rocky Rodriguez. I don't know if it's master's or what. He doesn't believe in evolution. Levi Allen led our singing. Educated, college degree, doesn't believe in evolution. There's Matt Ennen. You know, you could call Matt a scientist. He's a geologist. In fact, he has a degree on what? Geophysicist, right? So big a word, I can't hardly pronounce it. Matt doesn't believe in evolution. And we can just keep going through the congregation. No, it's not true that all educated people believe in evolution. That's one of the devil's lies. But wait. Isn't it true that most everybody believes in evolution? And you're just a little minority who denies it. Let me ask you a question. If everybody believed in evolution, so what? It wouldn't make it true. Do you know there was a time when most people believed man could not fly in a machine created by men? Before the Wright brothers and airplanes. Did that make it true? Most people at one time did not believe in germs that you had to have a microscope to see. And that's why people in hospitals died right and left. They didn't know about germs. Educated people didn't know about germs. Did that make it true that there was no such thing as germs? Spontaneous generation. I mentioned that earlier. It's the idea that life can come from non-life. That was widely believed until there came a fella by the name of Louis Pasteur. See, I never heard of him. Yes, you have. You drink milk, don't you? You drink pasteurized milk? That's why that label's on there. Because Mr. Pasteur proved that life cannot come from non-life. Because everybody believed it, that it could, didn't make it true. The majority never decide what's true. Let's look at two passages to close our lesson. One is in Hebrews chapter 11. You can't get a statement in the Bible, I don't think, that's better at saying something just opposite to evolution than this one. Right here. And by the way, you'll know that it says by faith. And if you're familiar with the context, it's that faith that enabled people of the generations past and is being held out for the people that this letter is written to sustain them in times of trial. It's that faith. And where does he start? Look, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared. That word means put in their present order and beauty, not just a blob made and dropped down here. Put in their present order and beauty, framed. That's why your eyelashes are where they're at, not somewhere on the middle of your body or torso. That's why your hands work with your brain. They were framed, prepared. How? By the Word of God. And in one of these previous lessons I talked about, we've talked about that very thing in Genesis 1. God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. Hebrew writer is carrying his readers back to the very points that we've been looking at. But look at the rest of the verse. So that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. That's evolution. That what you see came from things that are visible. There was some matter, blob, gas, something in the past. And here we are. The Hebrew writer says, no, it's not true. This present universe with its order and beauty exists as it does because of the Word of Almighty God. And I'll tell you what, if it does, I want to build my life on that Word. Not the professor, not the people at school, not the fellows that write the movies. I want to build my life on that Word. Our last passage is Matthew chapter 7. Jesus had just was concluding this great sermon. He said some remarkable things in it. But at the end, he encouraged people to build their lives on what he said. He said, verse 24, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine does not act upon them will be like a foolish man. So, there's our choices. Are Jesus' words a solid foundation to build our lives, our choices, our future, our hope on? I believe so. And I think you're here this morning because you believe so. Let's teach our children that this is not a pie-in-the-sky foundation. This is not a sandy foundation. There's reason to build your life on the words of Jesus. But here's the other choice. You can make another choice. Whoever hears these words of mine does not act upon them Oh, I've heard the Bible. I've read it. But for one reason or another, do not obey it. Be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell. I don't know how you could emphasize the last phrase enough. And great was its fall. It was indeed. The failed hope of a man's life, ambitions, dreams crushed because he built on the wrong foundation. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his apostles, I want you to go preach this gospel to the world. This gospel that Mark recorded. This is in the last chapter of Mark. About Jesus Christ. And he said, he who believes that gospel and is baptized shall be saved. So that's your choice. You have a choice to ignore it. He also said, he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. You can choose if you want to wait to the end of time, till you die and find out. Boy, that'll be a sad awakening if he's right. Have you believed and been baptized? You can this morning. And if we could help you, let it be known as we stand and as we sit.